Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Hey there, bestie. I'm Lori Ami, your What to Read Next podcast host. Join me as we dive into exciting new reads that'll have you reaching for your TBR pile in no time. From gripping mysteries to spicy romances, we'll explore it all and help you find your next favorite book. So grab a cup of tea, cozy it up, and let's discover some amazing reads together. Welcome to the What to Read Next podcast. I am so happy to have you back. And today's guest is Amy, and we're going to be talking about summer reading. We're going to talk about some of those traditionally published new releases that are shiny and illustrated covers, and they're so much fun. And we're going to tell you the real deal, whether you had to pick them or buy them or just borrow them from the library. So, Amy, so welcome to the show.
Hi. Yeah. Thanks for having me back.
So happy to have you back. So tell us a little bit what you've been up to. What's happening in the novel gossip world?
Same old, really. You know, my reading's been pretty good this year, actually. So can't complain there. And always leaning into trying to read more backlist, more indie. You know that, Laura. We talk about it a lot. But trying to have like a good overview of traditionally published and indie and, you know, backlist, library, KU, all the stuff. I try to utilize all the things that are available to us. But I think I'm doing pretty good this year on track with that.
Yeah, you're doing pretty well. Like every Tuesday, you give us a lowdown of what's getting published and you give us like a quick sound bites of like, here's why you should pick it or here's what did not work. And so it helps to save some money, but at the same time, like, oh, I can borrow this from the library or I can actually wait till like, you know, the whole times like this can wait for a little bit longer or this is a must read. And so it's pretty cool to have that to look for every Tuesday. What's Amy reading for sure?
So. Yeah, that's one of my favorite things to put together, too. Like, I enjoy doing it. I like giving you guys, like, the real, like you said, the real lowdown. Like, sometimes it's like, don't even bother with this super hyped book or whatever it may be. But I love my pub day posts. And they're definitely my best performing posts, too. People like to know, like you said, like, do I need to hurry and read this? Is this a must read? Can I get it from the library? Should I skip it all together? So trying to help you narrow those TBRs down because everyone's TBR is crazy, so we need help figuring it out. And
And I love the fact that you read a lot of independent, like indie, but backlist, and then there's thrillers. It's not just romance; like you get a little bit of everything. Right. So we do have similar tastes, and I trust your taste too. Like if I see that you're reading, you actually rate it highly, I'm like, oh, I'm likely to like this book because Amy like it,
right?
So it's
that's one of the benefits of us knowing each other through the years for so long. I get to learn who has similar taste as you do, and it's nice to know like, oh, if that didn't work for you, then it's probably not going to work for me. Or that's great.
Awesome. So we're going to chat, we're going to do rapid fire. We got quite a bit of list of actual titles to talk about, so let's do the ones that we both have read, and then we'll do your books and then my books and kind of deal with where we got it. So
perfect.
Starting with Ready or Not by Kara Bustone, which is it's not a secret pregnancy. It's a pregnancy book, you know. Yeah.
I've been telling people, because there's a lot of people that don't like surprise pregnancy romance at all. And it's a big, like, automatic, like, I don't want to read that. But I feel like if you think you don't like surprise pregnancy, try this one. Because I feel like it was done differently and it was done in a really great way. So, and also it was one of the best books I've read this year, I think, romance wise. I really, really liked it. I just feel like she did, like I said, a really like realistic portrayal of like pregnancy and all the anxieties and the worries and the fears and stuff like that were done really well.
Yeah. And I found it, for me as someone who's childless by choice, it really was not something that shocked me or something that, you know, annoyed me. It was something that I enjoyed reading, but I also love the slow burn romance because obviously the person that she falls in love with, this is something with Kara's books, is they're really slow burn romance, but they're done so well. Like the payoff is so worthwhile.
Yes.
Like it's just built upon each other.
Yeah. I actually talked to her briefly after I had reviewed it and was like, it was the slowest of slow burns that I've ever read, but it was so worth it. Like that's, and I always think I don't like a slow burn, but it's like, if it's done right,
yeah,
it's worthwhile. And it felt authentic to their journeys, the characters' journeys. Like the slow burn was necessary. It wasn't, it wouldn't have made sense for them to hook up right away. That would have been like kind of ick, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you like Marianna Zapata's book, I would say Kara Bestone should be your next person to go to. Mm-hmm. Maybe go for her traditional published books from, she has like 4 books out there. They'll slow burn. I know she has a popular Audible series. Like she does release Audible books and they're different. It's a different style. They're great too. But her slow, if you're looking for slow burn romance, her traditional published, like the print rice are the ones you want to go for because they're the slowest burn. So
yeah.
Yes. All right. Next one is Fangirl Down by Tessa Bailey, which is a golf romance. Who would have thought that we were like golf?
I even told my husband, I'm like, I'm reading a golf romance because he loves golf. And he's like, really? He's like, I didn't know there was such a thing. I'm like, yes, but it was great. I liked it.
It was great. I thought Tessa is a hit or miss for me. And so this was a hit. This was a hit for me. It worked. It worked. I listened to it on audio. It was available at Everin or Scrib. It was fun. It's a fun audio to listen to. So
yeah, I did audio of it too and agree. It was like an easy, light kind of listen. And Tessa's also hit or miss for me. I've really, really loved some of her books and some of them I just can't handle, but this one was good. There was an annoying nickname and that's a lot of people's. So I think she bypassed the nickname this time and it was really fun.
Yes, I
isn't it Sunshine Grump too? Yeah, he's grumpy.
I think so. He's grumpy. So. She's sunshine. Yeah, okay. Like sunshine grumpy, kind of like forced proximity. She's his caddy, and they go like do their own thing together, going around golf tours.
But it wasn't. Also, I didn't feel like it was too golf heavy to where I was like bored. It was just like golf was his career, but it wasn't like annoying, like all the details about golf. So if you're like hesitant because of the golf aspect, it wasn't like too in your face.
Yeah. And then we introduced a couple for the next book, which I started reading. Mm-hmm. It's a hockey romance. The next book series, Hockey Manny, First Proximity with a cute kid, a cute 11-year-old. So it's not like, so hopefully the next book in the series I started, it looks good. It has potential. And again, no nicknames, which is very exciting.
You must have read all the Goodreads reviews saying,
yes.
If I have to hear baby girl one more time.
Oh my god, I have nightmares. Yeah. Oh, all right. So the next one is How to End the Love Story by Yuling Huang, which is high stakes. Basically, they're promo bonded and they are working together in a writer's room in Hollywood. So what are your thoughts?
That one I was prepared for because I had quite a few friends. You were one of them that had read it and just prepared, like, this is heavy. It's dark. It's emotionally complex. It's not unicorns and rainbows whatsoever. So I was definitely prepared for it. And I really did enjoy it. But it was timing for me, definitely. Because I think as someone that would maybe just go and just like grab a book off the shelf, you're like, oh, cute pink cover. Like, but you, it's not it. And there are moments of lightness, but it's pretty heavy all across the board, I would say.
Yeah, it was heavy. It was just like, it's spicy. It's heavy. It's just, it's trauma. It's just good.
It's trauma.
Trauma. And it's trauma. It can be trauma porn. It can be trauma bonding. It can be, it's just trauma all along. And so if there's certain readers who like to seek out that kind of content, and this is a book for you. If you don't seek out that content, if you don't want to hear about like things about things that are about heavier topics, then skip this book up. It is okay. Yeah. You'll come up with a new book together. So there'll be different stakes in the next book.
Yes. Yeah, there's definitely some triggers and it, like I said, it's dark and it's a lot of grief and that kind of complex grief and complicated situations and stuff like that. But I think it was worth it if you're in the right headspace or you're the right reader for it. I thought it was pretty well done.
Yeah. And so moving to a more fluffier time, we're going to go to Funny Story by Emily Henry, which is, you know, they were broken up and they're separate of couples. It's complex. It's just like Emily Henry. So she does have complex characters. They do have abandonment issues and trauma and PTSD and all those different things, but it's a little bit more fluffier.
Yeah, I would say it's a little bit lighter. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And a little bit of a ridiculous premise, but sometimes that's okay. Like, yes. You have to just get past the fact of, like, really they're living together. But yeah, no, I haven't read an Emily Henry book that I've disliked. Really, she seems to usually work for me. And I wouldn't say it's formulaic, but it's her style. Like, it's exactly what you expect from an Emily Henry book. So if you're a fan of hers, you'll like this one, I think. Like, it's slightly different setup and characters, but it has that same M. Hen feel to it, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. And now we're moving to, I don't know where they go. They go to Bali, I think it is, or some random island, Paradise Problem, which is where there's comedians, you know.
Another one with an absolutely ridiculous premise that if you think about for 3 minutes, you'll be like, this is so dumb. But I just went with it. And I think they're so good at setting up an outrageous premise and making it kind of wacky and having fun with it. This is the ultimate, like, summer rom-com for sure.
It really is the ultimate summer rom-com. It's like the perfect beach
read. Like reading on the beach.
Yeah.
Perfect. Kind of. Because like you said, they're on an island and you're probably right. It probably is Bali. I don't even remember. But it's all that kind of the setting and the romance and the marriage of convenience and all that is perfect. Yeah. It was perfect. A fun one.
It's a fun one.
Reminded me of their older stuff because I've been hit or miss with their last few releases. But this is like Unhoney Mooners, like that kind of vibe. For sure.
Yeah. I think it's an upgrade. It's a more sexier fun Unhoney Mooners.
Like,
it's a little bit more sexier, a little more spicy, but it's just the Unhoney Mooners and a ridiculous premise. So we got married 5 years ago for student housing and oops, I'm going to inherit $100 million. So I need to save better for a couple of months.
Exactly. And I love their banter. I think when they're really on their game with banter, they're great. Yeah. And they had great banter here. So that piece of it was back for me for sure.
Awesome. All right. It's actually traditionally published. So it's Wild Love by Elsie Silver. It hit number one. It hit New York Times bestseller. So even though she came from indie roots, it's considered pretty much right now the traditionally published book. So Wild Love is the first one in the series. It's a small town romance, not cowboy, small town, with the ridiculous premise of a kid. I just gave sperm and for $10, $100. And now I have a kid 14 years later calling at my door and saying, you're my dad.
Yes. Another ridiculous premise. I try to give them a little bit of grace because I feel like at this point, everything's been done for the most part. Yeah. So it's probably very hard to come up with something totally unique. So sometimes I just go, okay, I'm just going to go with this. Like, your daughter just shows up and needs to come stay with you. Okay, sure. And then the mom's just going to go, okay, sure.
Yes, he's a stranger, but you know, it's okay. Sperm donor. You can just stay with my daughter.
Yeah.
And he's a billionaire and all the fun stuff. But it was a fun, delightful audio, you know.
Yes. Agreed. She writes some of my favorite smutty scenes. I like her smutty scenes. She's good at that. And I thought this one lived up to it. But yeah, it was a good first in a series. Definitely curious to see where the rest of the series goes. I always feel like her books are a touch long.
Yes.
And I was kind of hoping with traditionally published, maybe they'd shave some of that off. They didn't, but that's okay. But that's why her books on audio tend to work better for me.
Yeah.
Sometimes longer books I listen to them, I do better than if I'm trying to read them, you know, with my eyes. Yeah, no, I thought it was super solid. And like you said, the audio was great. And it had some of my favorite little fun tropes, like single parent and small town. I love small town and billionaire together because it's just like, it doesn't necessarily make sense. And it's ridiculous. Like, you know, Allie's always joking about like the private jet flying to the small town. that's always like funny to me, but I thought the tropes they worked well together. So yeah, definitely one I would recommend.
We had about bowling scene, like old single dads from bowling league, you know, like
it's
the random sports in our typical scene. Now we just see them in romance.
So. Yes. Yeah, that was cute.
All right. So we got Abby Jimenez, Just for the Summer, which actually has the premise of we both are cursed. Every time we date each other, date new people, they end up marrying the next person. And so we're going to break this curse together. And she gives up a summer in Hawaii to spend a summer in Minnesota. So,
yes, she does. I love Abby's books, though. And I think that she does that emotional component mixed with her romances pretty well without going too dark. I guess.
Yeah.
Like she'll tackle the heavier stuff, but she does it in a way, I don't know. She blends it together well, I would say so. And I think that she's so good at Easter eggs too. I love finishing one of her books and then going to join the spoiler discussions and seeing like all the Easter eggs that she put in. Like, obviously some of them you see, but some of them you don't. And there were some good ones in this book, I thought.
Oh my God. I need to go to the spoiler discussion for that. But I, if you're looking, if you have a terrible relationship with parents, this book may not be for you, because both characters have terrible relationship with the parents. Like, one parent is going to prison, but not they're a lot of feelings around that and a lot of feelings about the responsibility. Mm-hmm. And then the other one is like a narcissist mother, you know. So it's so if you have parent wounds, this might be something difficult to read, but it might be healing too. So you just never know.
I was just say it could go either way. It just depends on probably where you're at. But yeah, definitely take care with that before you start it, because there is some, like you said, some doozies in here about children and relationships and all that. It was rough. There were some rough moments for sure.
Yes, but there's a happy ending.
So. There is a happy ending, though. At least you know it'll be worth it in the end.
All right. If you were going to go rapid fire to the books that you have read, there's five.
Yep.
So we're starting with Savor It by Tara DeWitt, which is a Spoons, Oregon, not Forks, Washington.
Oh, that made me laugh so hard. I did the audio of that, and as soon as they said that, I was cracking up. That was so cute. This is my first book by her. She's been on my TBR for a while. I just didn't make time. And this was so, so good. So definitely going to go back and catch up on her older books. It's just like really good summer romance. He's a chef. He lost his Michelin star. He has to go to this small town. She lives there. She's healing from a breakup. It was cute. It was just cute. It was a quirky small town. It was flirty and sexy. And there's a little bit of food in there because he's a chef. And it was just cute. And I think the cover is just really pretty, too. That's what really got me. I was like, I need to read this book. This cover is gorgeous. But yeah, I really liked it. I was impressed by it for sure. And we'll definitely be reading her other books.
Yep. And her other books are available on Audible. So
yes,
for that, definitely. If you're looking to borrow. There's the audios are available on Hoopla. And I think price, they're traditionally published now, but the ebook prices are not going up. They're not spiked. They're still like in the $4.99 range. They're not, they may not be in Kindle. Some of them are in Kindle Limited. Some of them may not, but I think there's the ones that are still Kindle Limited. There's, you know, the price is not, has not been jacked up, which is,
that's fair. Yeah.
All right. The Gunkle Abroad by Steve Riley. I know this is not romance. I know, but it's a fun commercial fiction, you know, frothy Gunkle.
Oh, it's like the ultimate beach read. If you haven't read The Gunkle, you could read this for sure, because it's 5 years in the future. But you get more out of it, obviously, if you've read The Gunkle. And that one's just so fun and cute, too. But yeah, there's a lot of travel in this one. Patrick is taking his niece and nephew, Maisie and Grant, on a trip, and then they're ending in Italy. So there's lots of travel, lots of fun. And I just love Patrick as a character. His humor is so funny. He's so sarcastic. He's so dry and witty. And I love that. It was a little bittersweet too, though. I didn't realize that it was 5 years in the future. And all of a sudden these little kids that I read about in the Gunkle are like 5 years older. And I'm like, oh, they're not babies anymore. They're kind of like, she's a teenager and she's kind of bratty and he's like a preteen and kind of just clueless. And so that was a little bit like, oh, bittersweet, but it was a really, really cute, like you said, beachy, frothy summer book for sure. Yeah. And there's a tiny, tiny bit of romance, tiny, tiny bit.
It's all good. It's a good escape, you know, the Gunkle and the Gunkle Abroad are a good escape. It's like a duet that you get to listen. I know he narrates the first book, The Gunkle, so which is actually adds a little more flavor to have the author narrates their own book. So if you think about that. You know,
and I didn't listen to the first one, but I heard he did a great job, like narrating. So I've heard it's a good listen too on audio. So definitely
awesome. And just an FYI, Gunkle is a gay uncle.
So. Yes, gay. Oh, and in this, now they have a lesbian aunt, which I thought was hilarious. I'd never heard that before, and I thought it was just so cute. And like he kind of is feuding with her because he's like, "No, I'm the gay uncle, and who are you?" Like now they have she's like very like chic, like very cool Italian. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that piece was really cute. Yeah.
There we go. All right. We're going to talk about my most anticipated new release, which is The Vixen Rule by Elle Kennedy. It's a hockey romance, second generation of the DL and the Off Campus series. And it's the second book. We both read The Grand Effect. We'll listen to it. We loved it. So tell me.
So good. The Vixen Rule was just as good. I had really high expectations. I love Elle's books and I'm super fan of her, but this really. It's right up there with some of my favorite books from her. It was really, really, really good. You can read it on its own, but book one is so good. You shouldn't.
Yeah.
Like we were saying, but you totally can if you want to. You could even read them out of order if you wanted to. Yeah. This time it's Shane and Diana are frenemies. And then they end up fake dating and they're neighbors. So they have some close proximity. And her spice is so good in this book too. There was one spicy scene that had my jaw on the floor, like totally unexpected, not in like a, oh my God, I'm freaked out kind of way. Just like, oh my God, she really went there. It was good. But there is an emotional component. I don't want to spoil anything that I wasn't expecting. And like all of a sudden I was like full on sobbing. And I'm not the type that really cries at books. And I was like, oh my God, she really just did that. But I wasn't mad about it. It was just like very unexpected. I was like, what is happening? And Jamie had read it. So I thankfully had her to like text and be like, oh my God, what's going on? But yeah. But overall, it wasn't sad. There was just a piece of it that was, but it was really good. No one writes college romance like her, I feel like.
Yeah.
Like she's just so good at writing that age group. And listen, I'm old. I haven't been in college for a really long time, but it's still, you're just like, it brings you back almost like nostalgic, that time in your life, you know? Yeah. She's good. This is a good one. You have to read it, Laura. I can't wait to hear what you think.
I am excited. I think I'm gonna wait for the audio because it should be at Google. So based on the experience of the previous audio, so I'm probably waiting for the audio to listen to it. But I'm excited for this one. So
yes.
So this one I started and I did not pick it up anything forward. I think I read 20%. It's Swim and Saddle by Lila Sage, which is part of the River Blue small town. I think it's Wyoming or Wisconsin. It's somewhere in the
rock. Yeah, it's Wyoming, Montana, something like that. I get them all.
Yeah.
They all blend together.
It's a ridge. And this one is an interior designer with some guy who's tried to build a hotel in the small town. I guess they're rich or something.
Yeah, I don't really remember where they got their money from in that. I was just thinking when you were saying that, I remember really liking this book when I read it. But now that I'm thinking back, I don't remember a ton of the details on it. It was one of those. So it's like super easy to read, you know, and it was, I remember thinking it was really cozy and like that town is just really cutesy and stuff. But I know they were opposites attract and there was some mental health rep that was really well done too.
Yeah,
that was really good. Now I'm trying to remember how they have their money. I don't remember.
You know, we
have to figure it out.
We'll figure it out. But yeah, so if you're looking for a cozy escape or just small town romance, let's say it's just another author and they have like unique vintage poster as their cover. So it's a little different. So, you know, if you're intrigued.
And Cowboys are having their moment right now. So if you want another cowboy, both of the books were good. I thought Done and Dusted was also good.
Yeah.
So the series. Yep.
And now we're going to start with the final Ellen Hildebrand book, The Swan Song.
I know. That's so bittersweet. I've been reading her summer books for the longest time. And so as soon as I got it, I was like, do I wait and read it in the summer or do I just hurry up and read it? And I couldn't wait. I had to read it. And now I'm sad because I don't have anything new of hers to read over the summer. But it was good. It's classic. It's classic Ellen. There are a bunch of characters from previous books. So if you've read all of her books, it would make more sense, but you don't have to. Like, there's this one side character that's been in her books for years called Blonde Sharon, and she's like the gossip of the island, and she finally is a main character in this book. So that was super fun to get to know her and like her story, because it's always like, I heard this from Blonde Sharon, and Blonde Sharon told me this down at the market, and now it's like, oh my God, she's the main one. And then the police chief is a beloved character from her series, and he's back as a main character. He's been one before, but he is back. So it was good. It was a really nice way to end her summer series, for sure. Her summer writing. She tied up all the loose ends and everything like that. And if you haven't read her books before, she is the queen of the summer read. Like everything about it, the setting is great. She describes everything so well. Like you feel like you're right there with them eating this fancy food and on the beach and lavish parties and, you know, people with a lot of money and they're all making bad decisions. They're just very escapist. Yeah, because I can't relate to that. I'm not going to Nantucket and drinking and eating food. So it's nice to escape and pretend, you know?
Yeah. So you have to probably come back and talk about Ellen's like world, like where to get started, what to read. Because now I'm like, I need to start reading these books in the summer and like figure it out. Because they're appealing.
There's so many. If you wanted to, there's like three other books, I think, that are more connected to this one than the others. Yeah. So I'll get a list together, but I think you could read like four and be caught up with these ones. She also, too, is writing with her daughter a prep school series that's going to 2 books so far. Yeah. And they're going to not be out till September of 25 and 26, but super excited about that.
So it's exciting. She's still writing. She's just writing differently at like a different space. Yeah. So,
yeah, I think she just got sick of the summer novel, which I get. I mean, I don't even know how many she's written, but it's a lot. I think her first one might have came out like very, very early 2000s, like maybe even 2000.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of books. It's definitely a lot of books, but it was really good. It was bittersweet, but good. Definitely fun. But yeah, I'll have to work on an Ellen guide or something.
An old deep dive. Yeah. Like, hey, this is where you need to go.
Yeah, definitely.
Awesome. So I'm going to go over and some titles. I got 5 titles too. So the first one is The Rule Book by Sarah Adams, which is it's a continuation of the Cheat Sheet. It's a sports romance between an agent and a football player. It's Second Chance. They were together with him in college and they broke up. And he's bitter about the breakup. And so he's like, basically, she becomes his agent. He's like, absolutely not. We're not going to work together. And they suddenly get married in Vegas. And they posted on Instagram. So things happen. It's fine. It's actually spicy. I know Sarah is known for her closer romance. This one actually has spice. I listened to it. I missed the spice. So I don't know. But I know that there's spice because she actually put in the author know that there is actually going to be sex. And no, her editor did not make her write spice. She just wanted to write spice. It was fine. It's a fun audio. It's enjoyable, you know. Pretty easy to listen to.
Her books in the past have been, for me, I've read a couple of them, done audio for a couple of them. And when you said it was fine, that was kind of how I felt. Like, they were cute. They were closed door. And yeah, I remember thinking like, oh, this is a fun little palate cleanser. Like, I think it's one of those books I'd pick if I really didn't know what I wanted to read. Like, okay, I'm just going to try this because I have no idea what I'm for. Yeah,
it's a good palate cleanser. I wouldn't like, I'm not a diehard Sarah Adams fan. I've just got like, I just like her stuff just to kind of get between heavier stuff. It's just a good, you know, easy to do. Now we're going to talk about This Summer Will Be Different by Carly Fortune, which is my favorite Carly Fortune book, which I am surprised because I want to rephrase. I did not like Every Summer After. I DNF'd that, not because of the cheating, because that's well aware of the spoiler.
Yeah.
It's because I just didn't care enough about these characters. But this one is different. So basically, it's a little brother's best friend. So her best friend and the main character are, they live in Toronto and they visit, the best friend's originally from Prince Edward Island, which is where Anna Green is. And so they visited, and before her best friend wasn't around, she hooks up with this guy at the bar, and it turns out that it was the brother. And so they spent about 5 years like hooking up, like, you know, in secret, building this relationship. And there's friendships, there's Prince Edward Island, there's not just your romantic relationships important, but also your friendships are important, and how the family aspect of it. If you have read Anne of Green Gables, you'll love all the Easter eggs about Prince Edward Island and all those different things. There's oysters, there's beach, there's like gardens and flowers, and it's just a nice little escape. It's a pretty good one to escape from.
Sounds good. I have been hesitant on it. I have a copy of it, but I really didn't like at the lake.
Yeah, Meet Me at the Lake. It's much more lighter than Meet Me at the Lake. Meet Me at the Lake was too much heavier with grief. This one has a little different grief altogether because it does have parental issues. And there's like there's a loss, but it's not the main driver of actions. The main driver of actions is like, we're not supposed to be together. My best friend.
I do like that piece. So that could work for me. And another one where her covers are also pretty.
Yes. They're all like beachy and summer. Yeah, this one's a beachy, beachy romance. On a lighter note, but it's still like just some heavier tones, is That Rom-Commerce by Catherine Center. This is a closer romance. It's delightful. Like, I listened to the audio and I got to read a little bit part of it. It's a meta about rom-com, about writing a rom-com kind of deal. This guy, she's a screenwriter, but she's been in Texas taking care of her father. There's like traumatic injury that happened. And so she gets the opportunity to write for her dream hero, Charlie something. And he is a famous screenwriter, like a pretty like famous one, but he's young. And he's been hiding writing. He has a yip, so he cannot write. But he's been tasked to write the script for a rom-com for some mistress. And it's a terrible rom-com. Like, and so she's tasked to co-write with him. And they're living together because it's forced proximity. And she's teaching him how to have a rom-com. And I'll obviously open his heart. And it's just delightful. And it's like a delightful Catherine Sutter book. This is a good cover book.
Are always delightful for me. So I've been saving it. I have the audio. I'm going to listen to it soon. But that'd be one word I would use to describe her. Like her books are just delightful and cheery and
yeah,
fun. Yeah.
They're cheery. They're fun. There's nothing to, you know, worry about it. There's some heavy topics, but it's handling well. So we're totally cool. Adding a little bit of magical touch, we got a novel love story by Ashley Poston, which is, I don't know, but she's a runaway hit for me. Like, I don't see myself as a paranormal reader, but I love the way she uses magical realism in these books, because I love The Dead Romantics, which is about ghosts. And then Seven Year Slip was about a time travel apartment. And this one, we moved to a magical town based on a book that the main character has read. We see the story being rewritten over and over. And we're like, how is this going to work? But God bless, actually makes us work, and it does work.
She's so good at magical realism with, like, for, like you said, I'm not a paranormal person. I rarely that genre. And she just does a good job at sucking me into those worlds and making me believe, like, her little magical worlds that she creates, from the magic apartment to the dead romantics with the ghost. So I'm super, super excited about this one. Her books always work for me, too.
Yeah, they do. And it's just a beautiful little town. Romance is, and serious. She does appreciate the romance genre. And I think she does take care of it in a way that it reflects that she loves the genre. And I think sometimes that little frothy sense of, I'm not reading something that's just like escape. Like, I'm reading something that I enjoy, that truly enjoy. And deserves this place in the world, as well as other literary fiction. So
I'm excited for that one too.
All right. So if you watched The Idea of You and read The Idea of You, which is like, it's a loosely based Harry Styles fan fiction. It's on Harry Styles fan fiction. We know Robin Lee has stated that she based it upon many other boy banders of her time, but you know, it's The Idea of, like, so we got Under Your Spell by Thorwood, which is a grown up Harry Styles. And a daughter of an aging rock star. This is a British chick lit. I don't remember if there's spice. So don't quote me on the spice, because I actually do skip it most of the time. But it's set in Scotland, in this house where she's supposed to babysit him while he writes an album. And what's unique about her is that her dad was a rock star, and he impregnated three women at the same time. The wife and two other mistresses. And so they left him. It was very public because he's a public rock star. They all left him, and they took his money and made a villa of, like, you know, the village of the three women. And so three girls grew up as sisters, and they all, like, they all have different moms, or they all have the same dad, and they all have different issues. But it's like, you see the sister story.
I love that. That's so dramatic, but I love that they have their own, like, little commune. Like, we don't need him. And all of us strong women are going to raise our daughters as sisters. That is amazing. This one sounds good. I haven't heard of it either.
It's so good. And they're all famous on their own right, because their daughters, it was a big scandal. Paparazzi has been following them. They all have different stories. One is an executive, like a big executive in the studio. The other one's an artist. She's like a singer, like Coachella. The moms, one is an lawyer, the other one is, like, they all have their own personality, and it works. Like, the main character doesn't want to date a rock star because of her dad. She has daddy issues, obviously. And so she ends up being, like, with this guy who's, like, a grown up Harry Styles. She has very big ideas of, like, what he's supposed to be, and he tells him, like, no, it's not that way. It's delightful. It's such a good book. I see, this is a hidden gem that I think this is a ABO author. And I would encourage you, if you're like a little bit of a rock star, if you like chick lit from the 2000s and you like British, this is a book for you.
You are speaking my language. I love British chick lit in the early 2000s. That was my favorite thing.
Yes. So, yes. Awesome. So those are the books for the summer. And we'll hopefully come, Amy, you might come back later on the summer to talk about like what's later that's coming up. But this was exciting. This was helpful, hopefully, for our listeners to figure out what to pick, what to skip, what to go for.
There are so many books coming out, specifically May and June, July, too. But like, yeah. It's, I look at my calendar and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is crazy.
It is crazy. So
there's a lot to wade through. Like you said, hopefully we can be helpful on what to prioritize because there is a lot of.
It is. So Amy, tell us where you can find your line.
You can find me on Instagram at Novel Gossip or novelgossip.com.
Awesome. Thank you, Amy, for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for joining me on this episode of the What to Read Next podcast. If you enjoy our bookish conversations and want more recommendations, don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. Also, head on over to the What to Read Next blog for a list of books mentioned in today's show. Happy reading. Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyoureadingblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.